You're listening to In Demand.
You're listening to In Demand, and tonight we welcome Eric and Tan from Black Gold to the show. Let's put everything in a nutshell, because you might not be massively familiar to audiences within the UK yet. So you've been together for, is it 4 years now?
Yeah, that's about right.
Well, Eric and I actually met when Eric was touring with a band called Ambulance LTD, who were opening up for The Killers at the time. And we just sort of became quick musical partners and realized that we liked the same kinds of music and loved to write music together. And once we started writing together in his Brooklyn studio, it was sort of instant musical magic.
So did you bond over familiar tastes? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I would say so. But, you know, to be honest, it was really more about a brotherhood than it even was about music. It was almost that the fact that we happened to seem to like so much of the same music was a wonderful coincidence. But, you know, we just became very fast friends, and that's I think really what the band is about.
It was sort of like that, and actually it was helped along by the fact that we had a mutual friend named Jacob, who was sort of a musical matchmaker. He said, "Look, you got to meet this guy Eric. He's a sweet dude, and you know, he likes a lot of the same music you like, and you know, you guys should get together." And so it's sort of like a musical dating game via Jacob.
Blind date, yeah, blind musical dating.
Like speed dating almost.
Exactly, yeah.
So kind of, I just imagine sort of this Brooklyn apartment to be quite a mystical musical place. What kind of things were you listening to when you started to sort of lay down tracks and stuff like that?
Man, I think at the time, I was particularly going through a David Bowie, like, hunky-dory era, early Bowie phase. And I think that was very influential on our music at the time. But, you know, both Tan and I have you know, we're just avid music fans and sort of are constantly researching the archives and digging through the record bins to find records that may be old but new to us, you know.
So is it... The inspiration for the band, is it primarily vintage stuff, or are you looking at what's popular in the charts nowadays to kind of channel that sound as well?
Yeah, I think you're onto it, Alex. I think vintage is quite the key. We have a big archive of vinyl albums, somewhere in the range of 7,000 to 8,000 in my apartment.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's a bad habit. It's a bad habit. But you know, when you have 7,000 or 8,000 records on vinyl to listen to, I mean, it's really hard to catch up with the new stuff. And frankly, the old stuff is where it's at. You know, the inspiration back then and. In the day and age where before Pro Tools, when you recorded a band, it was actually recording live performances, and people were really expressing their souls without computers or studio trickery and auto-tune. You know, it's really hard to listen to new stuff when you listen to the magic of that old stuff.
You guys currently on the road with Feeder.
Yes, they're such nice fellows, and we've already played 2 shows with them. And the fans have been very receptive to us, and it's just been a great time. They're really sweet lads.
And now we can't have you on the show without chatting about So You Think You Can Dance.
Sure, absolutely.
Did you quite a big favor in the US, because they used your song as the exit song? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. That was a real honor for us. You know, I mean, they played the song every week for 10 weeks, and then during the midst of the season, they asked us to perform on the season finale. It was so nice of them to do that. And when we got there, it was such a pleasurable experience. They treated us, you know, like A-list stars, even though we're just a new band. We had our own like Hollywood style trailer next to Ellen DeGeneres, and we had like makeup artists, and it was sort of. A rock and roll lifestyle in an instant. It was pretty great.
Enjoy the rest of your time in the UK. Thanks very much for chatting to us.
Thanks, Alex.
And enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks very much.
In Demand.
This is In Demand with Alex and Lucy, and tonight looking very dapper and smart. Ollie Mers is back with us.
Yeah, always dapper and smart.
Yeah.
So you were with us during the summer.
I was.
And what's been going on since then?
Well.
Lots of fun.
I went and got a number one. That was really exciting.
Small issue of a number one.
Yeah, no, I managed to get that. And I've been doing things. I'm doing the advert for DS Nintendo, and I've got my album coming out on the 28th.
Yeah, it's all good.
Doing Christmas Day is coming.
I'm really excited about Christmas.
And hopefully a tour next year. So
yeah. Brilliant.
Just full of stuff at the moment.
And you've done a crazy TV show with JK and Joel by the sounds.
Just done that
as well.
On CBBC. Yeah. So that's exciting. It's coming out. I don't think it might be the new year.
Okay.
But yeah, I can't go into it too much. But it's going to be really good fun, and for the kids as well, they're going to love it.
It sounds like something that even us adults might enjoy.
It's going back to that. You remember that program on MTV, the pranking program?
Punk'd.
Mm-hmm. Punk'd. It's kind of in the same aspect of that. Instead of it's not, it's celebrities pranking
normos,
people, normal street, normal people. But that's as far as I can go.
Oh, too much. Exciting. Now, something else you have also achieved is, well, you promised that you would get your kit off in Heat magazine if you got another one.
Oh, God.
We can't let the interview go without mentioning this.
Oh, no.
And your pasty, as Alan Carr lovingly calls it, was just covered by a hat.
Just covered by a hat. And
yeah.
Oh, how did the hat stay there?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't possibly
say. Was it like double-sided sticky tape?
Yeah. Pretty
or,
much,
or
yeah.
were you happy that day?
No, we generally just you could just put a bit of sticky tape on, which was quite uncomfortable because obviously you can imagine me having to rip that off afterwards.
Yeah, I can't imagine that.
It was quite uncomfortable, nice. But it was good fun, and I've never seen so many people in a photo shoot. It was about eight to ten people there.
All women. Yeah. They were like, we're runners for the day. Would you like a cup of tea, Mr. Murph?
Yeah, and they were like, and then I was like, excuse me, so nice to meet you. Who are you? She was like, I'm just work experience. I was like,
she's having the best work experience ever.
Yeah, and we was doing the documentary as well at the time, and they were getting some real shots, and I was like a bit scared that if my documentary comes out, you might see a little bit more than you want.
Do you want to see Ollie Jr.? Oh, let's talk about the single, Thinking of Me. Yeah. You've gone for a sort of another reggae sound again.
Yeah.
But it's quite nice because it's almost winter and it's a real nice summery sound. It's something we need.
Yeah, well, when we wrote it, it was in the summer, and it was just basically, we just decided that actually, why, you know, coming up to winter, you know, why does it always have to be so many ballads and so many sort of down-tempo tunes? Let's bring out something that's a little bit more up-tempo and got like the wintertime feel to it. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. Really love the song, and it's more of a dancey song. If you see the video, like, it's quite quirky, the video, like lots of little dancing and me walking on me going a bit out of the ordinary and stuff. It's quite cool.
You're listening to In Demand.
This is In Demand with Alex and Lucy. Ollie Mers is still with us this evening. Right, this time last year, you were at live show stage.
I was.
Let's discuss who you're backing at this point in the competition. Are you allowed to publicly...
Of course I can, yeah.
Do you know what, though?
I generally, and that sounds a little bit to sit on the fence by saying this, but I think as a worthy kind of X Factor winner and someone that I think that sort of typifies the show in terms of working, you know, Tesco's checkout lady, you know, that kind of like real X Factor winner. We haven't had one for a long time, I think, where someone like Mary, I think, would be like that kind of winner where it really would change her life completely.
Shane Ward was one of those because he was working in the New Look men's department, wasn't he?
Yeah,
and
course,
then all of a sudden,
it's
won like, the X Factor.
I think for Mary, because of her age as well, I think that she has that kind of... I mean, you know, she's got a long way to go and is a lot of great artists, but I just think, you know, for the show, typifies that kind of person, you know. But, I mean, there's so much talent. I think that... You know, you've got some really good contestants this year. One Direction, of course, are really good.
You like Cher, don't you?
She was really good
the weekend, actually.
I think she's obviously had a lot of slack, and there's been a few bits in the papers and stuff, of course, but that comes with being on the X Factor. But I think she's doing well. I don't think she's reached the peaks yet that she did in the first edition.
No, we're still waiting, aren't we?
I think you know, if they get the right songs, it's going to come. I think she's got the ability. She's 16. I mean, people forget how young
she really is
getting on stage and doing what she's doing.
Him.
I mean, I remember I was 25 when I did the show last year, and when I used to, I mean, even though I looked like comfortable up there, and I was, it's still nerve-wracking and the pressure is immense. And so for someone like 16 years of age to be going up there, it's pretty incredible. But yeah, there's loads of good artists. Matt's really, of course, I'm back in Essex Boy Matt as well. He's brilliant. He's got a grand, fantastic voice.
You two will be going out on the lash after he comes out.
I'm sure we will.
I can imagine that.
And we get Jeff Brazier out as well, the old Essex Boy, the Three Musketeers.
Oh, I love Jeff. he always seems really lovely.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for chatting.
No, thank you very much for having me.
Best of luck with the song, and we'll see you again soon, hopefully.
And the album. Yeah, definitely. I'll see you soon.
Thank you.
You're listening to In Demand.
This is In Demand with Alex and Lucy, and tonight we welcome James Blunt to the show.
Hello.
Hello, Alex and Lucy. How are you doing?
Very well. So. Where have you been?
I've been gone for two
it's
years.
Been a while.
I know. It feels like longer than that. In fact, my album came out 3 years ago,
Is it that long?
And I went on tour for 2 years.
Whoa.
In a bus, and I ended up in dodgy places like Kazakhstan and had an amazing, amazing world tour. But then I went home, I hung out with my mates, and then I dropped into a studio, and I've been in that studio for 12 months.
They let you out.
So it's been very nice to escape. and you were practically the first people I've seen since being released.
So you're like walking around touching people. You are real.
Yeah, you are.
Where did you record? Where was the studio?
I recorded in London with a man called Steve Robson, and I literally walked in on, you know, one day not knowing if I'd work with him or not. I've been introduced by my drummer, and we wrote a song called Dangerous, and I said, you know what, can I come back tomorrow? And then the third day happened, and the fourth day, and a year later I stepped out.
So you said you got to catch up with your mates as well, because I imagine constant touring, you know, being pretty much a global superstar kind of limits the amount of time you do get to spend with family, friends, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I spend a lot of time with my band, and you know, as great musicians as they are, they're not very nice people, and they're certainly not much to look at. So yeah, it was really nice to go home and hang out with mates.
And do you think that's kind of influenced the new material? Because you've got, it's almost like a more upbeat, happy sound on your new album.
Yeah, you can spot that. I guess before I would, you know, take my guitar, and while friends would be having fun, I'd be in a corner on my own writing a miserable song.
Songs of woe.
Poor old me. But instead, this one, actually, I've obviously waited for them to go off to work, and instead I've gone out and I've had fun, and I've been, you know, picking up an electric guitar and writing these energetic, up-tempo songs with a bit of optimism.
That's good.
Yeah.
We like a sense of optimism, and we need it in the world now.
Yeah. You know, some can be a cynical place, can't it, sometimes?
Definitely. So where's home for you now?
I've spent 12 months locked away in a studio in London, my home, though, is out in Ibiza, so I'm there whenever I can be, and you'll find me in the corner of the local club out there, not making much sense.
What's your favourite club in Ibiza?
I like Pasha because I wrote a song, 1973, about Pasha, which was the year it opened, and they remixed it. Pete Tong remixed it and played it in the club while he was playing there for the season. And,
amazing.
And I really like Amnesia as well. And they've taken another song of mine and they're playing in there, which is very funny, but it's not for release because it's lyrically not appropriate.
Okay,
we get that.
You're listening to In Demand.
This is In Demand with Alex and Lucy tonight. James Blunt is still with us on the show.
Hooray!
And you are brand new to the world of Twitter, sir.
Yes.
I'm learning and I will stumble through the process. And I'm, yeah, slowly making a fool of myself. I'm called Dirty Little Blunt.
I think that's a great name.
and I'm learning to enjoy it.
It's good.
Was it true that you initially kind of had the idea given to you by the record label and you sort of went, I don't want to be on Twitter, thank you?
Yeah, I do find it difficult because people have a thirst to know about your private life, and I don't have a thirst to provide details of my private life because it is sordid. but I recognise also actually it's a great way of getting information direct to people who might want information, you know, cutting out a middleman, cutting out a record label, and I'm starting to enjoy myself a little bit more.
Now, speaking of the new single, of course, Stay the Night, the video is beautiful. So sunny and so lovely.
Yeah, I know, actually. Well, because I've done some miserable songs and I've done some miserable music before where I've always been put through some kind of physical pain. I'm like throwing myself off that cliff.
Half naked in the rain.
In the rain, and you could tell how cold it was because my nipples were really hard. and I was buried up to my neck in the desert and stuff like that. And I thought, you know what, sod it. Instead, I'm going to just have really fun videos for me to shoot. So this one was on Malibu Beach with a whole load of surfer chicks and the occasional surfer dude too, and it was much better.
What's the song you did with Misha Barton in the video?
Goodbye My Lover.
Yeah, that was an amazing song.
I remember when your first album came out, and it was, I think, because it was out before the single came out and it had a different cover.
Yeah.
I had it then and I used to blast it out of my flat when I lived in Nottingham. But Wise Men, that was always my favourite one.
Well, that came first before You're Beautiful, didn't it? And then
we did a soft release for that album and went Wise Men. I don't know what that song means. It's a complete load of gibberish, isn't it? Really?
But the lyrics, Send Me By The Sea, always raises a smile.
Always.
Whatever it means, it always does.
Explain that. Can you explain it?
A house by the sea.
It's a house.
That's good. I've been asked, is it a semi-automatic? Is it a slightly happy, or is it it's a semi-detached?
That's okay. Exactly. There we go.
Excellent.
Calling me a pervert before I have a chance to explain myself.
You knew it too well. James Bond, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very nice to see you guys. Thanks
thank you.
You're listening to In Demand.
This is In Demand, and tonight we have Gerard and Frank from My Chemical Romance here on the show.
Hey.
Thank you.
A warm In Demand welcome.
That's right, we can clap for ourselves.
That's right.
Yes,
no,
you have to.
It's us.
Because I'm missing Lucy, and usually she's really good at the claps.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Four years.
Four years
since the Black Parade.
Yeah.
My God. Mm-hmm. It seems like yesterday, but it also feels like you've been away for a long time, because I'm a big fan of you guys. So it's nice that you're back with new material.
Oh,
so
thank you.
Let's fill the gap. What's been going on in the 4 years?
We toured on Parade so long. That was a big part of it. Yeah, it was like 2.5, right, years of touring on Parade. So that took up a big chunk of time. And then we really had to go live, and you know, we have babies. Frank just had twins. Yeah.
Congratulations!
Thank you very much. Gerard had Bandit. Yeah,
Bandit.
Had a year and a half ago, right?
Yeah, but I was just saying when we were chatting before we turned the mics on, it was like, you know, it actually takes the band changes so much every time we make a record that it takes a long time to change. You know, so you have to kind of like let it happen organically. You can't force it, and I'm very glad that we did that.
I wanted to know whether you'd got sick of the Black Parade. It was an incredible thing, and it did incredible things for you as a band. But had it got to the point when you tour with something for so long, you just need to leave it behind?
I think
it was exhausted by it.
It was an exhausting album in itself, and it was of such a dark nature that's what made it a quicker burn for us. It was like, oh, it was, you had to go to the really dark places to make it, and the whole thing's very gut-wrenching. I mean, there's a sense of black humor on the record, and I think we had to embrace that live in order to really make it through, because if we had to tap into the dark stuff every night, we would have burned much faster. But it was a quick burn, because it wasn't about fun or freedom or anything like that. It was about punishment and, you know, life and death, and it was about hope, but to get there, it was pretty
dig
brutal.
Deep.
So we got really tired of that. You can't, I don't know, eat black cornflakes every day. That's what it felt like. It was like jet black cornflakes every morning with no milk for 2.5 years.
And it seemed like quite an exhausting show as well. I was saying, I saw you on the arena tour with the show, and you put your life and soul into it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just one night as well. So if you're doing that for 2 years.
Right. And it's a bit different now. And it's not that we're actually putting more of ourselves into it, more of our true selves into the show. But I remember on Parade, I was saying this even yesterday. It was like, every second, every single note had to be hit. I had to be moving constantly. If I wanted the crowd to jump, I would have to jump. And like now, I'm not feeling like I have to do that so much anymore. Like we could just really
it was
just
like
be
this quest for perfection.
Yeah, it was
dark perfection.
Yeah.
The downside of that success, to a certain extent, was that when you had a song like Teenagers, the British press can be quite cynical when you've got your tongue in your cheek and you're doing a song like that.
Oh yeah.
The Daily Mail went for you a little bit.
Oh, yeah, they did. You know, that was we were talking. They come up a lot, and it's fine, because I'm not angry about it anymore. And I never really was angry. I think I just used it to our advantage. But now I don't even really like to do that. I said the other day, like, I just realized that it's a sensational company. It's a corporation that needs to sell paper with words on it. So that they have a job to do, and I accept that. They do your job. Like, you want to sell papers, you say whatever you want to say about people. I completely understand it.
What was your ultimate message with Teenagers? What was the sentiment for it for you guys?
I think basically that teenagers sometimes are f***ing scary.
Yeah, yeah. It was my views on them, but it was also how I thought the world felt about them. Like, it treated them like they were scary. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I was talking about just our fans, but I kind of felt like I was talking about all teenagers. Like, they kind of treated them like, you know, I remember, you know, they kind of treat them like animals. Mm-hmm. They have metal detectors and medications and all this kind of stuff.
Let's play the new song, and then we'll talk about the new era. So, Gerard, can you introduce it for us, dude?
Yeah, we're going to play Na Na Na. Is that what we're playing? Yeah. Okay, this is a song called Na Na Na, Na 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 Na.
Do you manage to get them all in each time?
I don't know. It's actually an undeterminable amount. I think on the back of the CD layout, it's going to be even more, but I can't. Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
It's supposed to be like 50 of them.
Whoa.
It's supposed to be like the paragraph. But we never got that in.
Need a big 12-inch edition.
Yeah, that's what we'll do.
Nine.
It's nine. Yeah, Lauren knows it's nine because she's had to type it out.
Count them on the press release. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. Yeah.
It's nine.
So you got to do all nine before we play it.
Na na na, na 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 na.
Here it is. This is In Demand tonight. Gerard and Frank from My Chemical Romance are still here with us. So, a brand new era, brand new album, and you guys have got new personas, so to speak.
Kind of.
Is this just an introduction? Because the video that goes with Na Na Na,
yes.
You are playing different roles.
In the videos. And one of the things that's cool this time is it's not a concept record. It has a high concept, and it's funny because there's more trappings of a concept record on it, being that you have almost this narrator that kind of brings you through it, but it's not a concept at all. And that was very liberating for us. But having said that, it has a very strong high concept in that it's this transmission from 2019. It's about filth versus corporate cleanup. It's about color versus monochrome. It's about freedom and rock and roll. And
it sets the stage, basically.
Yes.
And it sets up a world that you can live in and kind of make your own rules within. Like to think that we're kind of giving you the lines and then you color outside them.
So how will you tell a story on stage or not? Because obviously Black Parade was a big story.
No.
This, you're just going to rock out
just
and enjoy.
Just going to rock out. And that's
just
really
hits,
what it feels
man.
Like.
Yeah.
You know, but as, because I know what you're asking at too. Yeah, in the videos though, it does continue.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's important to know. That we just actually, because everything's so breakneck right now, we shot the second part already. It's already done. So
amazing.
And then literally I'm writing the third right now. And that's how it's been. Like a week before we shot the second, I had to write the second. And we would all talk about it, mm-hmm. ideas, and then riff out stuff. And so it's literally, I like that kind of art where it's like you're not overthinking it. You're like, like even Nana just started as a trailer. It wasn't supposed to be a full video. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it became a single. And then Rob Cavallo said, can you finish it as a video? So then it was like, oh, shit, what do we do? So it's, everything's been like that, like make it up on the spot. We've made some of the stuff we made up on set.
Has anyone entered into talks with you yet about festivals next year here in the UK?
We've started to talk about, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
We got a wish list?
We've always... Glastonbury's cancelled though, right?
No, it's on.
Oh, it is on.
Yeah.
I've only heard amazing things about it, you know?
Have you never been? That.
Never been. We've never played it.
Loved it though.
Yeah, I mean, there's always Reading and Leeds.
Would have been better than Guns N' Roses, that's for sure. You hear what happened?
I heard some things.
It just seems wherever they go, they miss their curfew.
Oh, well.
They get booed off stage. It is not going good.
You didn't think that was going to happen?
Well, yeah, this is it. People have high expectations.
I'll tell you, I will say one thing about Guns N' Roses. Remember watching a Cavallo's that video live of the, you know, the newer incarnation of it? Mm-hmm. No matter what, when you hear that opening riff to Welcome to the Jungle, it just makes you want to break everything in the room. Yeah. It's like still does, no matter who's playing the lick or what.
Hopefully Glastonbury then. Fingers crossed. That'd be awesome.
Great. Oh, awesome.
Thanks very much for coming.
No, thank you.
This was great.
Best of luck with the album. Not that you need it. Gerard, Frank, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
You're listening to In Demand.
This is In Demand, and it is great pleasure again to welcome the lovely Elliot, a.k.a. Example, back. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
You missed me?
I've missed you loads. I love this show.
It's brilliant. Yeah, it's great to have you back.
It's brilliant. Yeah, I haven't really spoken to you on Twitter either for ages.
Well, we do tweet every now and then, don't we? I was defending you on Twitter the other day, actually, because someone said they didn't like you, and I was like, oi, leave him alone. Just because he doesn't like Jeb Wood, they are rubbish.
No, it's because I speak my mind. I was chatting to Louis Walsh the other day in Dublin, and I was just like, I should write some songs for all your acts.
He should have got you on Judges' Houses.
He texted me back, actually.
Did he?
I thought Louis was going to text me back.
And what
did
he say?
I texted him and I was like, hello, Louis. It's an Example here. Still up for writing some songs for your acts. Like, Elliot, my boy. Not even Example. Elliot, my boy. 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. 1,000,000. We need hits. We need
1,000,000%. 1,000,000%.
Oh, the public are going to love you. They're going to love you. The public are going to love you. Simon, you're wrong. Simon, you're wrong. He's got talent. He's got 1,000,000%. You're wrong, Simon. No.
This has all happened in the text.
And does Louis, yeah, obviously. I mean, iPhones, you can send really long texts. It's brilliant. Does Louis know your thoughts on Jeb Wood? I'm guessing he must do.
Yeah, well.
But he knows it. That's. I think you kind of reflected a nation's thoughts, to be fair.
Yeah, but I just said, you know, just because, you know, you're famous does not mean you're talented. And that's because that's what I was saying. Loads of people, like someone on one Jedward fans, they were like, most of them were Irish. They were like, you wish you had as many fans as Jedward. They've got more fans on Twitter, so they're better.
Let's talk about your year.
Go on.
The whole summer of which was pretty much spent flying to and from the UK to Ibiza.
Yeah, I've done like eight times.
Back forth, back forth. What was the funniest thing to happen to you while you're out there? Because everyone comes back with stories from that place.
I think I fell asleep on a lilo in the pool.
Did you wake up burnt?
No, I just sort of woke up a bit wet.
Oh, okay. So it's not that eventful then.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything else that happened. I lost a flip-flop. Had a nice steak. These aren't really good stories, are they? Met some fans.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sounds quite tame.
Yeah, it's all right. You know.
Yeah.
We had a gig and about 8 Page 3 girls came down, which is all right if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah. You've got a bird though, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you can just sort of perform to them and that's it. Be polite.
So you introduce yourself and look them in the eyes.
Hi. Hi, how are you doing?
Nice to meet you.
Oh, sorry, you've got a face too.
Oh, you brought two friends along.
No, I love Ibiza, but most of the trips, we were there for 10 hours. I was like landing at 10 p.m. That's and leaving at 8 a.m., 9 a.m., whatever.
How's your girlfriend coping with all this?
Not good.
Aww.
It's tough times, you know?
Yeah, because she can't have hardly seen you all year, really.
Not really, but, you know, I've written about 3 hit songs about her, so yeah. She's happy.
Well, I was going to say Two Lives.
Yeah, Two Lives was written about that. Kickstarts, obviously. Yeah. All my songs are about dealing with, you know, troubled relationships, but realising you're still in love.
Aww.
And, yeah, they all come from a really personal, honest place, like Two Lives particularly. But, you know, I personally think that the biggest and best songs, you know, always come from a really personal place, like especially like ballads or love songs. You know, I think all the best songs, you know, like Chasing Cars. I love that song so much. That was what I was listening to a lot when I was writing Kickstarts. It's almost got that same sort of bass note. I just start ding, 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 ding. You know, and he wrote that, I think, that similar thing. You know, he wrote that, I think, in an hour or something in a garden outside the studio. And the best songs come from those places, I think.
In Demand.
Is In Demand. Example is still here. Hello again.
Hello.
Something we need to talk about is the fact you work with Professor Green on Monster. And there's just a photo of you in the video because you couldn't make it, could you, to the shoot?
No, because I'm so busy. I was the day you shot the video, I was in Ibiza. And then we said, can we shoot it the next day? And then I was in somewhere else, probably.
Should have said to him, fly out here. We'll shoot over it.
Yeah, no, I think he shot it at a funfair in Blackpool.
Definitely a funfair, isn't it? Because what you can tell, it's like a ghost train. So.
But I think they did it in Blackpool, and like, obviously if they'd done it in London, I probably could have made it. But
Oh, well.
We were both genuinely disappointed we couldn't do it. Like he was
he a good mate of yours?
Yeah, well, I mean, we used to be signed to the same label together. Me and Green supported Plan B on tour 5 years ago, when Plan B's first album was around. And then we were signed to the Streets label and supported the Streets.
It's mad, isn't it, to see how it will come full circle for you, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, like, we saw each other, actually, in Sheffield. I played a gig in my first night of my tour on Monday, and he played the after party and did, like, 3 songs, and we performed Monster together. And, yeah, it's pretty emotional. We had sort of, you know, a couple of drinks and a hug, and he was like, you're like my brother in this. And I was like, no, you're like my... You know what I mean?
Aww.
It's sort of... Because we you know what I mean? We both come from different places, and our music sort of evolved quite differently. But I think the vibe that... You know, we're both really happy for each other, and I don't think we see each other as like competition or anything. I think it's more just I want him to do really well, he wants me to do well. Do you know what? One of the sad things about the music industry in some parts of it is that when the week you have a hit, you know, or you go to number one and you get top 3, the week that Kickstarts charted, we got calls, we got offered to do songs with about 10 other people, and I just think, I don't know any of you.
Yeah.
You know, I probably could have bought a new house if I'd have said yes to all of them.
I think you get quite a lot of acts who have been doing pretty well, but not as well as they'd like. And then as soon as they see the hot artist of the moment do well, they're like, right, let's latch onto that and see if we can get the number one we want or whatever.
But I think, what's the point of associating with all these other people? I mean, I think people go, all right, we can tap into their fan base and vice versa.
Yes, that's what
but
it is.
But the way I look at it is, I don't know this person. I haven't been out and had a drink with you, or had a meal with you, or we haven't, you know, we don't share anything in common.
What's the weirdest collaboration that's been suggested to you?
Well, I know, I just think even to do a song with the Saturdays would be pretty weird, or, you know, a member of the Sugar Babes or whoever. I don't really, they're not from my scene, they're not.
If you're not connected with them in any personal way.
I don't dislike them personally, I just don't see the fit. You know, just because we're in the pop charts at the same time doesn't mean that we should do a song together.
Thank you very much for popping in again.
No worries.
It's always good to chat to you, always a laugh. And we'll see you again soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Have a great Christmas, by the way, if we don't see you before then.
Well, okay. Thank you very much. You too.
You're listening to In Demand.